This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Warning. The following podcast, which contains strong language and mature content, is unsuitable for children or for the faint of heart. The subject matter discussed will be frightening and graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
Three spooked girls. When you want to hear about the paranormal, you get the spooked girls, true crime that makes you hypothermal, with the three spooked girls. Stabby snippets will give you dreams. Tara and Jessica will make you ask great, along with the spooked girls. Bring on the slaughter. We on that haunted ground. Spooked girls. The three spooked girls.
Hey there, spooksters, and welcome back to another episode here on Three Spooked Girls. My name is Jessica, and as always, I'm joined by my favorite ghoul friend, Tara.
Hey, spooksters.
As spooky season comes to a close, even though we will hold it in our hearts forever and ever, we have decided we're going to do a new, like a recap show on a cult, because y'all are like, we love when you do cults because Jessica says really weird shit.
Pretty much.
Let's be real. That's why you like when we do cults.
Exactly.
But before we get into that, if you want to hang out with us, you can do so by heading over to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or X, or whatever the fuck it's called now. Our handle is at Three Spooked Girls. You can also hang out with us in our Facebook group. It's called Three Spooked Girls Official. We go in there, we talk. I loved seeing everyone's Halloween costumes.
Oh my God,
and just being able to interact with you during spooky season. And now that our Secret Satan is like closed and like everyone hopefully has gotten their gift, and shame on you if you didn't send a gift. I'm just gonna say it.
Hopefully some are just late. Let's be positive.
Yes, let's hope the mail's just taking a minute. I get it, because like, and I also get like, if you ordered something and it was coming to your house and you wanted to put it with another thing, I totally understand. Those we totally get. It's the ones that are like,
yeah,
are they gonna send one?
Communication
makes me really sad. But anyway, it's been really great to like interact in the group with you guys throughout the whole of like Spooktober and all of the spooky season, and just see what's everyone going on. Big fucking shout out to Alan for, you know, being the Michael Myers hot dog. I like saw your photo and I cried.
Oh my God.
I was at work and I was like crying laughing, and my boss was like, what? And I just turned the phone around and he goes, I don't understand. And I go, it's okay. It's like an inside joke between me and a random person I don't know. It made my whole day.
Family, friends, and Lumi whole body deodorant. These are the things I'm thankful for this year. Why, you may ask? Because Lumi is a deodorant like no other. It was created by an OBGYN who discovered BO isn't just an underarm thing. It's an all over thing. So she developed a pH optimized deodorant that's clinically proven to block odor everywhere, not just your pits, but your privates, feet, and beyond. Lumi is a huge hit in my household. Not only do I use it, but my tween daughter does as well, and it works amazing. It is clinically proven to block out odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Unlike some deodorants that try to mask the odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. More like pre-deodorant. Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like the mini body wash and my other favorite, the deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for our spooksters, new customers get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with our exclusive code and link. And for a limited time, returning customers get $5 off their next purchase of $30 or more too. Use code SPOOKEDGIRLS at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. Thank you to Lumi for making this holiday season smell a whole lot better.
If you want to help support the show, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/threespookedgirls or hit the link tree. It has all the links to everything. I don't even know. Tara's been asking me for like links of stuff of mine, so there might be more things in there I don't even know about. But definitely check it out. For as little as a dollar, you get a bonus episode each month, 5 and up, video content. Also, you get ad-free episodes the day before episodes air.
Yeah.
So that's great. You also, if you have been enjoying our vital conversations, 5 and up, get those
the video
and literally in real time. Today is Thursday, and so Tara posted the picture where we had our conversation with Shelby Scott and our face was just like no. And I was just like, please add that when we post. That's amazing.
It's literally the thumbnail for the
video. I love it so much.
For the video, I didn't even do the Spooktober thing. I just put that.
I was really excited about it.
Oh my gosh, so great. We'll definitely have more after the holidays, too. Those were so fun.
Oh, for sure.
Those episodes were so fun to do. So we'll do more in the future for sure.
For sure. And if you're on TikTok, you should be following Tara. That's just plain and simple. Her handle is spooky_sleuth. It's also linked. Definitely follow her. You guys can follow me on Instagram. My one rule is that you just have to have more than like 10 photos, because in my work life, we took this training that was like, if someone has like 10 or less photos, they're not a real account. And as I'm sitting there, my boss is like, I only have 9 photos and I haven't posted in 4 years. I was like, yeah, but you haven't posted in 4 years, which means you got an Instagram and then went, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, that's different.
It's not like you just joined Instagram and have 6 photos and they're all like
from like 2 days ago
and they're all posted like within minutes of each other.
Yeah,
that's a scammer. Don't befriend them.
Yeah,
they're gonna steal your identity. Mm-hmm. Things you learned from Jessica. And we're both on Threads. They're linked through our Instagram, so you can follow us on there as well. Threads is where Jessica says random shit. If you think this is fun, just think about like 2 a.m. Jessica, where there's no Tara going, I'm gonna edit that out.
Threads is fun. I like Threads. It's cool.
I do too. You know why I like it? It's just like Twitter, but it's linked to my like Instagram.
Yeah.
I get that like Facebook, Instagram, and now Threads are taking over the world, but I like it.
Yeah, I like them.
I dig. Mm-hmm. Apologies. I have a new, if you guys hear weird sounds, I have a new setup for my recording area and I'm getting used to it. So I'm not used to the dimensions. I might hit the table during like me saying a word. So please bear with me while I acclimate.
We're an indie podcast. Don't judge.
Don't judge. There's no booth. I'm not sitting in a booth in like a fancy place. Though I could probably do that if I wanted to fly to Vegas every week. My aunt owns a recording place. So
damn.
But I don't live in Vegas.
Me neither.
But anyway, let's dive in.
Yes.
Tara and I were on FaceTime one day and we're like, what should we do? And I was like, oh, let's do documentaries, like, because it's the end of the year, let's not get anything too heavy. Mm-hmm. And so we were like scrolling through and I see this chick pop up on HBO Max and I was like, oh, her hair. Mm-hmm. Oh, her hair. And then I was like, oh, it's a religious cult. Oh, it's a Christian religious cult. And now we're doing it. So we are going to be talking about The Way Down, God, Greed, and the Cult of Gwynne Shamblin. It's a docuseries. It's on HBO Max. Definitely check it out. There's 5 parts to this. So strap in. We're going to have some fun. Mm-hmm. This is episode 1. It's called The Kingdom. It's interesting. I'm going to say this. You guys know that like sometimes I get elevated and I watch shit. Well, I had been like doing a bunch of stuff that day and I actually didn't even mean the first time I watched this through to watch it. Mm-hmm. But I had watched that like show, the abandoned, like the hidden mysteries, that show. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Tara. And I kept texting Tara. Like, I was such an annoying friend that day, guys. You have no idea. I was like, Tara, did you know that in this town, there's this building or this place and so-and-so? And she's like, yeah, no, I didn't know. Thanks for sharing. And I'm like, on the other end, she's probably like, shut the fuck up.
No.
Please stop texting me about random places in America. But I was like, this is great. Jessica's meal prepping and watching documentaries while elevated. So then I watched this. I started watching this afterwards and I just fucking missed the first few minutes or the first like couple minutes because I say to Tara, I'm gonna spoiler this, guys, she's dead. How the fuck I didn't know she was dead? Because the first like 2 minutes of this thing is the plane crash.
Well, I knew before I turned it on because I was like, who the hell is this lady? So I had to go Google her. And obviously that's, you know, saw the info. But I did not know any details. I was just like, let me look at the bare minimum real quick. Because I was like, what the fuck? What am I doing?
Right. And I'm like super stoked about this. You guys have no idea.
Oh, I am too. It's really good.
Also, if you were raised in a Christian, like evangelical, or if you were raised in a Christian cult like I was, this might be triggering for you because it sure was triggering for me.
We should probably also warn if eating disorders, disordered eating, weight loss, body image, anything like that is a trigger for you, this series is not for you because that's a huge theme throughout this. So I wanted to put that out there before we started, but we can start now.
I'm going to be really honest. This is like triggering on so many levels.
I agree.
But first, we're going to go to the little sleepy town of Brentwood, Tennessee. What the fuck is Brentwood doing to the world? Because every single Brentwood is this like rich suburb of an area. And like, it's where OJ's ex-wife lived in LA. There's a Brentwood in the Bay, which is a little hoity-toity. And this Brentwood, they literally said in the episode, they called it quote unquote, not diverse. And there's a church on every corner. One of the girls in the episode is like, you know, like how there's a Starbucks on every corner. Mm-hmm. It's a church. Mm-hmm. So very like small town south, but like affluent south.
Mm-hmm. Privileged.
And then they were like, but somehow this church there, it's called Remnant Fellowship Church, is completely different. We're going to talk about why. They believe that Remnant Church, which was established in like 1999. Mm-hmm. It is a cult. Yes, Tara. has about 2,000 members. We don't 100% know, because the other thing about this church is it's not just one church. It has multiple.
Yeah, it's like a franchise, like McDonald's.
Yeah. Get your guilt to go. That's what popped into my head as soon as you said that. I was like,
oh God. Okay.
So they have about 2,000 members. And the church is fucking huge.
Oh my God.
It's on 40 acres. Mm-hmm. But when you're like looking at it, you're like, oh, that doesn't look like it's 40 acres. It's because the church is so massive.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's crazy. They were like, basically everyone lived in Brentwood. And if you really couldn't afford it to live in Brentwood and you moved there, you shared housing with people so you could go to this church.
What the fuck?
And everyone lived nearby. The founder, Gwen, lived in a place called Ashland. And it was a 25-acre plantation-style estate. It had 7 bedrooms, and it was about 5-ish miles away from the church. So, like, if Gwen really wanted to, though I don't think Gwen should have walked there because a stiff wind could have just taken her away.
Yeah.
Guys, I know the woman is dead, and I'm really sorry, but once you see her hair, you will understand why I will make so many cracks about it throughout the series.
It just grows as the years go on.
It's just, like, every time you see her and, like, through the years, her hair gets higher and higher.
Yeah.
It's, like, that whole notion, like, the higher the hair, the closer to God.
She took that seriously. She took it seriously.
And according to like in a later episode, like one of her hairdressers was like, no, she like combs it out and then redoes it. And I'm like, the hours it would take to fucking tease that and then undo it. I'm like,
bro, yeah. I feel bad for whoever had to do that because, you know, she wasn't doing it.
And she did it, and they did it for Frizzle.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, people have described Gwen as charismatic and that they believe that when she started, she had really good intentions. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that in a second. Also, I want to note that like Gwen and her husband lived in this 7-bedroom mansion. And like we said, a lot of her members were sharing houses.
Interesting. We know where that money was going.
Not to the people.
No, because that would make too much sense to take the donations you're getting for your church and give it back to the people of your church. Why would you do that?
I know, right? This will jump around in timeline wise. They'll go like back and forth between like the past and current, kind of current, because it's 2020 when this was filmed. And Glenn and Carrie are a husband and wife who are not members of the church. I don't even know if they're Christians. I just think that they're like,
I think they just live nearby.
They're just people who live in Brentwood.
Yeah.
They have 3 kids and they have a daughter named Delaney. And Delaney meets this boy at school named Jackson. And Jackson is a member of the Remnant Fellowship Church. And the mom, she tells Delaney, like, look, be nice to Jackson because the people of this church are weird. We know this. And don't treat him any differently because apparently other people in town who don't go to that church would treat the kids differently. And so, big mistake, because Delaney like falls in love with him and basically becomes brainwashed and is going to join the church. Oh, Carrie's the mom. So Carrie's like going through Delaney's phone and she finds like what would be considered graphic or disturbing content. And she basically, her and Glenn sit down with them and they're like, I guess Glenn asked Jackson point blank, are you planning to convert our daughter? And he was like, yes. Which, to pivot, I don't know why I feel the need to do this, but in Jackson's world, he's probably being raised by parents who are in this cult, who are probably pretty high up. People said that Jackson, like, is a really great guy. Like, he was really, like, respected as a teenager in this church. And why wouldn't he? If he likes this chick and he knows that deep down he's not supposed to, quote unquote, be unyoked, unevenly yoked or whatever, he would want her to convert.
Right.
Long term. And kind of the manipulation tactic that Jackson was using was to be like, look, Delaney, we can't be like dating until you convert.
Right.
And her parents are like, nah, girl, stop. And it went as far as the fact that they got Delaney, like I'm sure the church did, they got her a burner. They told her what to say when her parents are talking to them to like kind of like distract her parents. She also said that they would tell her like, don't save your passwords, sign out of all of your emails, use the other email, the ones your parents don't know about. And can you imagine like as a parent, like
so predatory.
It's so predatory, but it's so weird because you're probably like, a church is trying to like take over my kid. And like most parents are like, God, if my kid went to church once, it'd probably be great because then they wouldn't be out doing hooligan shit. And they're like, go be a hooligan, child. Like that was like the part I was like, oh, like in my mind, I was like, oh yeah, she could be doing drugs, but granted, she is joining a cult.
Yeah.
And Glenn was like, you know, we talked to our kids about guns, premarital sex, all this stuff. Just never thought I'd have to talk to my kids about cults. Because like, why would you? So pro parenting tip, talk to your kids about joining cults. Like, don't do it.
Right.
Or join my cult, which my coworker and I are establishing. It's really just an excuse for us to say that we're having a meeting for us to go out and drink. It's the best kind of cult. There is no belief system other than you should eat Taco Bell.
I mean, yeah.
Everyone right now is like, where do I sign up?
Except people who hate Taco Bell.
Yeah, you're kind of fucked. You gotta convert.
Sorry.
I'm gonna say this. Taco Bell is not Mexican food. Taco Bell is fast food. Taco Bell is food.
Taco Bell is trash food that I like to have sometimes. That's it.
Right? I was talking to one of my coworkers and she's like, it's not real Mexican food. I was like, I'm not eating it because I think it's authentic Mexican food.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Like, no. That's an insult to Mexican food.
I don't think anybody.
And to the Mexican culture.
Yeah, no.
I want it because I love the artificial nacho cheese.
Fair.
Someone yesterday was like, oh, you don't like candy? I was like, it's not that I don't like candy. And they're like, what would you crave instead? I was like, nacho cheese. That's what my cult is established on, unicorns and nacho cheese.
The cult of cheese.
The cult of cheese. So many people join in. We will also pass out lactate pills, like lactose pills.
Love this. Love this.
Yeah. It's what really your membership pays for is the pills. That's really it. I am so sorry, guys. I just went on a rant. I hope you enjoyed it. I did. Anyway, Carrie and Glenn are like, shit, our daughter is being brainwashed and they don't really know what to do. And it kind of transitions because Glenn is like, you can't tell me that Gwen's motives are for people. It's her motives are money and power.
Facts.
Gwen grew up in the Church of Christ and it's talked about right away where like they were like, women are not allowed to preach in that church. Which is very interesting because Gwen becomes a preacher.
Yeah.
This is one of the things I think that makes Gwen truly fucking evil in this world is she's a nutritionist. And basically they were like, she's like, my body is my temple. And that's what she was raised. She was raised to like clean her plate. But because of that, she like had self-control issues like with eating. And when she went off to college, she got the freshman 15 and she wrote, this is a quote from her. She's like, I teach people how to stop bowing down to the refrigerator and teach them how to bow back down to him being God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the capital H-I-M. She goes and she becomes a this is her story. She becomes a nutritionist and then she uses her faith
with her education.
And really what she did is she learned how to manipulate people.
Mm-hmm.
She's very good at it. And here's the thing, like when I'm watching this, I'm like, I've heard this before. I swear to God, my church did this program in the 90s.
I believe it.
They also did this program that was called Leaving Exodus.
Oh.
Or Leaving Egypt is what it was called.
Oh.
It was about losing weight. I mean, it's true. The Christian faith and weight loss programs, you would think that they don't go hand in hand. They go very hand in hand. There's a friend of ours, the person who actually introduced us, Tara and I, her grandparents had this book and they tried to give me this book once because I was laughing at it. And they're like, no, it was really good. It was called The Jesus Diet.
Oh my God.
Do you remember the show? There was only one season of it. Christian Chenoweth is in it and it's called CBG, which stands for Good Christian Bitch. And it's about this like... this group of women in Dallas and they're all around church. And literally one of the women in there starts a Bible-based food diet.
Oh.
I was like, oh my God, this is just like circling me.
Oh my God.
I really love the show. It's really funny.
I'm going to have to watch this.
Yeah. So she basically tells people, whenever you're hungry...
Pray.
You, like at one point in this episode, they're like, your breakfast, lunch...
Fuck and biology. Just pray it away.
Right. Which I mean... Let's be real. If you believe in God, because growing up in a church and seeing some of the shit that I've seen, I know what the brain can do to make you believe what was happening. And if you were like, believe, like, I'm going to pray, like, I'm hungry. I'm not like, I don't need to eat right now, but I'm going to go pray. Like, you could do this with anything.
Yeah.
You could be like, I'm hungry right now. I'm going to go read a book.
Yeah. It's a distraction.
Right. That's all it is. It's redirecting your brain. It's me not having a good relationship with food and thinking that like I'm bored or something's missing and I'm going to go eat to kind of like, you know, satiate that.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, eat as little as possible and pray when you need to. Okay, that's interesting. Mind you, I don't know if it's in this episode or the second one. It's basically like, she basically bases a lot of her like starvation techniques, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's starvation techniques. It's based off of like, so fucked up, the Holocaust.
Oh my God, I wanted to just like bring her back to life to smack the shit out of her.
Right? Like, this is not a good person. Like, if I'm making fun of her, people do not feel bad for her. She's a terrible human being.
Yeah, she's fucking horrible.
Jesus, like, kids have killed themselves.
Yeah.
Women have stayed in abusive relationships.
Mm-hmm.
All for this narcissistic, big-haired bitch to, like, get money.
Yeah.
And as someone who survived a Christian cult, I'm like, I see all of these red flags.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's successful, because people who are deeply indoctrinated into the Christian faith, and I want to say this, like, if you're a Christian and you believe in that, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me. Good for you. I've been there. I was traumatized by it. Literally, my friend has physical scars from it. I was put into situations in my life where I should have never been put into because of quote unquote God and church. And it has changed who I am, and religion triggers me. So I have the mic and unfortunately, I share that.
It's okay.
But anyway, she understands that if you take these people who are so indoctrinated into the love of God, which I want to say, if the church worked the way the church was supposed to work, it would be the most wonderful place, because you're supposed to love each other. You're supposed to feed the hungry. You have food. The Sermon on the Mount, the fishes and the five fish loaves thing. Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fish food. I should know this. I've blocked a lot of this out of my head. It's about someone being like, hey, I have food. People are here hungry. Let's feed them.
Exactly.
Give them the coat off your back. But she's like all about, okay, you're going to come. You're going to buy my workbooks, which good for her. Like before she started this church, I was like, good for you, honey.
Mm-hmm.
You found a way to make money in a male-dominated industry. And some people are losing weight. Like you see these women who are like, I lost 150 pounds.
Yeah.
And I'm still losing. And there's this one woman, I love her. She's so sweet. I love her. I don't remember her name. She's like, in like, what was it, like 4 weeks, she'd lost 27 pounds. Well, because you're starving yourself.
Yeah.
And then at like one point, she's like, I had lost like 158 pounds. And they were like, you're not losing weight fast enough. So you should just fast. Fuck fasting. Fasting is a way to get people to not eat. And she's like, there are people who fasted for 40 days. I remember like my parents fasting.
Oh my God.
This is why this all sounds so familiar. Yeah. I remember my parents were like, they basically couldn't eat during it was like intermediate fasting. Like mm-hmm. they couldn't eat in the day. And then when they could eat at night, it was like soup.
Mm.
And I'm like, I don't know if you know this, but that means I was on a diet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I need to be untriggered. I'm going to tell you a story that has nothing to do with this, but Tara wanted me to wait to tell her. And this is going to help me calm down. Literally, guys, I'm about to go into a panic attack. So we're just going to tell this fun story. When I was in youth group, my church was really big into giving to missions. We would like do fundraisers and send like $500 off somewhere. And one of the ways we raised money is we did these things called lockdowns. Not lock-ins. Lock-ins are that cute thing where you bring your sleeping bag and guys are in one room and girls are in another room and you watch movies and play pranks on each other. No, a lockdown is different. We were Romanian street kids. This is so fucking offensive, guys. I'm just saying.
What the fuck?
I'm a very well-adjusted person for the shit that has happened to me. Basically, we were told you're going to live like Romanian street kids. The money is going to minister to.
Uh-huh.
You should see Tara's face right now, guys. It's terrified. And they would take our church, which was a big church. You know the church I'm talking about. And mm-hmm. they would like, it was in the dead of winter, and they would crank the AC down to like 40.
What the fuck?
Like to the lowest it would go. And they would leave it running for like 2 days. So it was like fucking freezing. And then when this thing would start, they would take our jackets.
What the fuck?
So unless you were wearing like a t-shirt style long sleeve shirt, which most kids aren't, you're probably wearing like a jacket and a t-shirt because the church was always popping hot in the youth room. You were like, so you're in like 40 degree weather, the church lights are out, and you're having to live like a Romanian street kid and hide because there were adult men who were Romanian police, not real Romanian police, but they were like our youth leaders who were men, and they would capture you and then they would torture you.
What the fuck would they do?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. They would take you into this room and they had like this whole wall. It was like covered in trash bags and the floor was covered in trash. They would throw like shaving cream and whipped cream at you. They would throw like water balloons at you.
Oh, good. When you're in the fucking 40 degree mm-hmm. room with no jacket. Good. Yes. Throw water.
Tara, we did this multiple years.
What the fuck?
This wasn't like I did this once and was like, okay, I'm out. Like my fucking brainwash was like, oh, we're doing the lockdown again? Let's fucking sign up. And I was like, this is dumb as fuck. Like I had this like pop into my head the other day. I was having lunch with my friend Jessica at work and I was just like, oh my God, I remember this. It was traumatizing. And then they would like basically like one guy held me to a chair while another guy like rubbed dog food on my face.
Ew. Oh my God. What the actual fuck?
And made like another kid that was in there ate the dog food that had been rubbed on my face.
Was it his kid or was it just a random kid?
It was a random kid.
Not that would make it any better if it was his kid, but I'm just...
Our parents signed waivers to allow this to happen to us.
Mm-mm.
And then at the end of it, they were like, okay, we're going to turn the heater on, which took for fucking ever to turn the heater on after like 8 hours of this nonsense. My church didn't have like showering facilities. So all the girls are washing their fucking hair in the kitchen sink and like trying to get clean in a kitchen sink. No one was allowed to leave. And then our parents just picked us up the next morning. And we got up on Sunday service and was like, hi, my name is Jessica. And I survived living on the Romanian streets. And thank you for your donation. We're sending X amount of money to help house children. I literally thought I was fucking making a difference. We did that several years at our church. And then we did one out in Pascanta at my friend's farm, where we were released on the hillside and only allowed one article, like one small jacket. We couldn't wear a big poofy jacket. A girl didn't know this. She didn't read the instructions correctly because we were only allowed like a sweater. She brought a puffy jacket and was wearing a t-shirt underneath, and they didn't fucking think to bring extra sweaters. So this girl was like out there in a t-shirt, like arms in her shirt. And they did the same shit, except for we had to like bind shelter stuff, like because we're outside, and my team went and robbed everybody's shit. And then because we stole all of the pallets to build like an actual shelter, we got in trouble and they knocked it down on top of us.
Oh,
right. And then they gave us the 2 pallets we were allowed to have, and then they yelled at us.
Sounds right.
That time when we came inside, because we was outside, we were staying at people's houses, we were allowed to shower and sleep in warm clothing. I had dog food rubbed on my face and I thought I was living my best life. This is why I tell you guys, I lived in a cult because I didn't even fucking question that shit. And I signed up multiple years. We did this like 5 years in a row. I think it was like until someone broke their toe. No, I'm pretty sure someone broke their toe like the first year. And I think if someone got really hurt one of the years, they were like, we can't do this anymore. Or we got a new pastor and the new pastor was like, abso-fucking-lutely not. This is a form of child abuse.
Yeah, no fucking joke.
Like an adult man picked me up and carried me into a room where other adult men then tortured me. I grant it, the way I'm saying it sounds super bad. At the time, I was like, oh, it's just Brother Ben. I don't, his name wasn't Ben. I'm saying it to protect the people, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, it's just youth leader Steve.
Yeah.
You know, he's just rubbing dog food on my face. He drew a mustache on me. He drew a Harry Potter lightning star and then yelled that I was of Satan.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm going to do this again next year because we're raising money for Romanian children. So yeah, sorry. I had to de-escalate my own triggerness.
Horrible.
So yeah. Churches are terrible.
Yeah. And Gwen was just basically like, if you're not skinny, you won't go to heaven.
Oh, yeah, there's that. So basically what it was is she had this program called the Way Down Workshop, and she was on like CNN, Larry King, 2020, and she helped people lose so much weight because it worked. Like, if you starve yourself, but the thing was, is like, if you are doing a restricted caloric diet, you have to be consistent with it. Mm-hmm. You can't stop. And this is where she's got people. This is where she wins in this, if you really think about this, because she's convinced a bunch of people who believe in God that the only way that they're going to get to heaven is by keep losing weight and to be thin. The only way they're going to stay thin, because nothing else has worked, is to stay close to God. The only way to stay close to God is to give your sin of gluttony to God. She's a fucking evil genius, this woman.
Yeah. And then basically, if they fell off the diet or whatever, then pretty much they were saying, like, you're going against God and blah, 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 and all that, like guilting them and shaming them.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because one of the first things that you hear with Gwen is, like, in the very first part of the episode, she's in a deposition. And one of the first question is, like, do you tell the members of your congregation that they can't socialize with non-remnant members? And she's like, no, that shit is so prevalent in churches.
Mm-hmm.
In 2017, my mom died. She'd been part of this church called Remedy Life in Chico.
Mm-hmm.
And their pastor got up in the pulpit literally the week before her funeral and was like, Bobby left the church. If you go to her funeral, you can't come back.
Oh my God, what is wrong with people?
Like, this is the fucking shit that people do. And so I totally believe it. I totally believe that she was like, you can't. And that's, we see that in the whole Delaney thing. Like, Delaney ran away from her family and was like, basically they were supposed to like go meet like an ex-member of the church. And Delaney like was like, okay, I'll do it. But it was like a Wednesday night. And so she freaked out and then like ran away. And like, I'm just like, this is ridiculous. So Gwen has this whole like thing set up, right? This whole losing it with Jesus, Way Down Workshop, whatever. And she's like building an empire. And then she and like seven other people decide they're going to start this church. And at one of her big conferences, and I mean like big conferences, like there were like 30,000 people, maybe 40,000 people at this conference. It was giant. And she gets up. And here's the thing. The fundamental belief in Christianity is that there's the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, mm-hmm. the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
That there's the Father who, you know, gave us his Son to die for us, to save our lives so we won't go to hell. And then the Holy Spirit is now what comes and guides us as like our conscience. It's our, the Holy Spirit. I was told that I didn't have a conscience, that I had a Holy Spirit. That's what I was told.
Oh.
Yeah. That little voice inside of me, who sounds a lot like Lois from Family Guy, was the Holy Spirit. That's, if you guys wanted to know, that's what my conscience sounds like. But anyway, Gwen gets up and just basically like, holy shit. Like, she's like, you know what? It's just God. God is better than Jesus and the Holy Spirit. There's no Trinity. They're just like lackeys for him. You want to talk about an uproar in the Christian community? Like, people, there's a woman on this that like, she was a member of this like crew. She worked for Way Down, because that was the other way that she did it.
Yeah.
You worked for Gwen as well. Like, you bought into what she was saying. And she basically came out and was like, there's no Holy Spirit. There's no Jesus. Is like, Jesus is real, but like, God is more important. And pastors and Christians fucking sent back books.
I believe and, it.
Like,
yeah.
By the loads. They were like, fuck this. She believed that her church was literally the only church that mattered. And that like every other church was a false church. You'll literally see, if you watch the documentary, she'll have like a church drawn and it'll say false under it. And then it'll be like a church drawn and it'll say true. And it has like a plug to God.
Only her religion was the only way.
Mm-hmm. So she would say like all these churches believe in a false program. And you know, those people are getting the weight back because they're not true to God. I'm sorry. I have seen some very fat preachers in my time. So like, that's not right, Gwen. And you were so thin, it scared me. And her daughter, oh my God, her daughter scares me.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about her next episode. So the weird thing is that Gwen would like tell people, you can't get a divorce. You have to be godly, blah, blah, blah. You have to be subservient to your husband.
Until.
I want to say this before we get, until we get to Joe. Here's the interesting thing about this concept of Gwen being the head of a church, but she like literally, they asked her, oh, this was the question I forgot. They asked her, what is your role within Remnant Fellowship? And she said, I'm one of the leaders. And as her belief is that women are supposed to submit to their husbands, that you're supposed to get married, find a husband, submit to him for the rest of your life. No way out. You're just you and the guy who could be an asshole. And you just be subservient. And I was like, why would men follow Gwen? Because Gwen was convincing other women to do this, but Gwen didn't have to do this. But women saw the fake being submissive to her husband, and they were like, I want to be like Gwen, so I will submit to my husband who beats me. I will submit to my husband who murders my children. You'll find out later. I'm going to submit to my husband who cheats on me all the time because Gwen tells me to. Gwen does not believe in divorce until Gwen meets one Mr. Cholara, and then suddenly God told her she could get a divorce.
That poor dude.
This is what I believe she said. Like, I believe she sat down at breakfast one morning and was like, because her husband's name was David. And I believe she sat down and she was like, David, God spoke to me and I'm supposed to leave your ass. Toodles.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that's kind pretty like, no. I swear that probably is very similar to how it went, because it talked about how he, like, her profiting so much off of this shit was not sitting right. So they basically just like shooed him away. Like,
oh, yeah.
And it was just like all about her, which I feel like made that worse. So it's like, you know, she's getting her full narcissistic needs filled with it being just attention on her.
Right. Oh, this woman is so narcissistic. And she had a whole cult follow her. I guess this goes back. I have to take it back. You know, my big question is, do cult leaders have big dicks? I guess they just have big hair, too.
I suppose.
So Gwen gets a divorce. She leaves her husband. She leaves a lot of her money in the divorce so that she can marry Mr. Joe Lara. We're going to kind of find out about him.
It's in the next ones, because we get introduced to somebody new.
Her name is Natasha.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'm going to just say
Team Natasha.
Yeah. Like, if we make shirts after this, it's Team Natasha.
Yeah.
So basically Joe and Gwen get married. Natasha is Joe's. I don't think they were ever married. It's like his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. They were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah. And they have a daughter. And so they're going to go into a custody battle. And Natasha is my queen.
Love her.
But this, oh my God. First of all, Chrissy Teigen is one of the executive producers on this. This shit is well done. It's not exploitive. There's enough people on here. Oh my God. Can we just talk about the woman who was like, when she was talking about the hypocrisy of Gwen getting divorced, and she's like, miss me. Miss me with the side of a broadside of a bus. I was like, oh my God, I love this saying. I'm going to say it from now on. I didn't know. She was like, fuck that. Fuck that shit. And I was like, I love her so much.
Yes.
And she will come in clutch later in an episode. In a different episode. I love her so much.
Oh my God. Yeah. Episode 3 is going to be a shit show. Whew.
I want to say this. If you are in a situation where you've come from a Christian cult, or you're in trying to get out, we understand. We're here for you. We are sending positive thoughts out there for you. It's a really hard journey to come out of this shit, because there's so much indoctrinated. Like, real talk, I talk with my therapist every week about the fact that, like, I sometimes don't do things for myself. Tara knows this, that I don't do things for myself because I give to others before myself. And it's because growing up, I sang that fucking song that was like, Jesus, others in you is a wonderful way to spell joy. That shit is so fucking destructive, because what you're teaching kids is you should be the last thing on your mind.
Yeah, that's not healthy.
I don't think you should only think of yourself.
No.
But you should also not fucking put other people's needs ahead of yours, especially if it's killing you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that in the next episode.
Yay.
We hope you enjoyed this and my rant and a little bit into my Christian cult as we talk about this really weird, triggering Christian weight loss cult. We will see you back here on Thursday for another episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.